And so last week we talked about positioning yourself as an educator and creating a monetizable masterclass. And so this week we're going to move on and back to doing a weekly workshop. And just in case you detect that there is a pattern to this, there is indeed a pattern to this. And again, you know, what we're doing is, you know, I'm cycling back through these things. We're right back to building a weekly workshop. I'm going to be covering a different aspect of that today. Okay. So so if you have any questions, feel free to go ahead and ask. So we're talking about building a weekly workshop, and we want to extend our audience to get other people to attend. That's what we want to talk about tonight, extending the audience to get people to attend. So let's talk about some sources to get people to attend or sources to introduce people to the workshop that you're doing. And one thing that you can always do is be a guest trainer. And I'm not talking so much about, you know, doing an interview, although that's a good thing to do. I'm talking about being a guest trainer and finding opportunities where you can train an audience of people on the things that on things that you know or areas of your expertise in terms of internet marketing, if that's what going to be your niche. Of course, you can be a podcast guest, right? That's a great way. And, you know, there are ways that you can do to get yourself, you know, introduced. I wouldn't necessarily advertise myself as a professional podcast guest, but I would let people know that I'm available. And that's something that you'll want to do. There are lots of places right now that really want people to come and speak at meetups virtually. So I would encourage you to, it depends on where you are in the world. Now, you know, this is, you know, some countries, meetup.com is kind of a thing. Other countries, it is not. I mean, the United States right now, it is. And there are lots of great opportunities right now for you to be a speaker at a virtual meetup. And you can do that through meetup.com. So again, and you can do the same thing through people who are doing regular Eventbrite events. But meetup.com is really made for that right now. They're really structuring that. And so if you really don't even want to host your own meetup and you don't want to pay the meetup fee, you can definitely be a meetup speaker. And you can make some pretty good connections by doing that. Being a guest lecturer, and this is more of an offline thing. I mean, look for those offline opportunities where they need people to come in and speak. Now, this is going to be a little tricky until we've got COVID tamed, but there are opportunities for you to just kind of teach people offline. If you have a book, and you should have one, you can take any of the content that you have and turn it into a book. You can do book discussions. Now, that's a little trickier because you're really trying to invite an audience to that when you can just do it in your workshop. But again, I mean, it's a different audience, right? If you can do that. YouTube guest interviews, you want to make yourself available for them. And if you are a college graduate of any kind, alumni societies always look for people to speak. And so make sure your alumni association knows what it is you do. And if they know what it is you do, and they know that, you know, you have this particular specialty, then you want to make sure that they know that, you know, you're available to speak. And alumni associations are always looking for people with these areas of expertise. They are hungry for content. They're hungry for live content. They're always looking for ways to raise money. And so you can do that, you know, with your alumni association. So again, I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, something that, you know, it's for everybody, but in some cases, you know, depending on your status or your standing, you might be a good guest for them to bring on, you know, your alumni standing. And if you can get in with the Chamber of Commerce, that's going to be an excellent way. Chambers of Commerce are really going to be looking for ways to entertain their people. And I'm going to put that right along with that. If you live in the United States, I would look for opportunities to speak at SCORE, Service Corps of Retired Executives, and the SBA. Right? Let them know that you're available to speak. Let them know that you can speak on certain topics. And, you know, if you're willing to do a series, you're willing to do it free, one of the benefits of having them do it is, I mean, they can promote it for free, right? They can promote it to their list. They can promote it to their people. And, you know, again, in some cases, they may not necessarily want to promote one member over the other. But, I mean, even if you're not a member, let them know that you're willing to speak for them, you know, if you want to do a little pitch for them. what I would suggest before you start doing these kinds of things, make sure you have a training archive. And I'm going to say that means have four things that you've done. You, at minimum, have 4 weeks that you have in the can. And even if you're sort of preaching to, you know, an empty pulpit or an empty room or whatever the case is, you want to make sure you've got those four sessions in the can and available for people to see. And what you want to do is you want to have what I call a training playlist. And don't over obsess what that means. It just means that someone can access all 4 weeks of what you've done, and they can look at it and see, oh, well, he did this July week one, July week two, July week three. He's going to do it again in August. It should be evident that you do this every week. That's what you basically want to see. You want people to see that there is progression, that, you know, when they decide they're going to join you in order to become part of it, they're then going to be able then become part of your workshop. So make sure you have an archive. Please do not wait until, you know, you have a training archive before you start looking for opportunities. I do want to say that. But while you're doing that, make sure you're doing your workshop. And if you're doing your workshop in 4 weeks, you'll have the archive and you'll just be more credible. But still start reaching out to people. Let them know you're doing this workshop. It's perfectly fine. You should have these on YouTube regardless now. But I will say that because YouTube shows the number of views, if you're uncomfortable with that until you get established, then just put them on a private server. Right, you can put them on something like, put them on Vimeo or someplace like that. Put them in a private playlist before you're established. Now, when you send people to a workshop, all it's designed to do is to prove that you can be in front of an audience and share what you know. And so that's what you want the archive to do. You want people to watch the archive and watch and say, oh, okay, well, if I bring this person on in front of my audience, they're not going to embarrass me. They're not going to make me look bad. They're going to make me look good, in fact. That's what you want the archive to do for you. And with the person, and that's it, right? If somebody invites you to be in front of your audience, they just want to not be embarrassed. You don't have to knock it out of the park. They just want you to be knowledgeable. They wanted to feel like, oh, that was awesome. Thank you for inviting me. I really appreciate you bringing me on to learn these things. That's what you want people to say as a result of bringing you in front of their audience. Now, again, they may or may not bring you back, and that has nothing to do with how good you are. They just may, you know, like to bring different people on for different subjects, and that's what they like to do. So, again, make sure you've got an archive that when people watch it, they, you know, it's evident that you know what you're talking about, and it would not be a hardship to bring you in front of their audience. Create an excuse to be in front of people. Take your live content. So whenever you do these workshops, repurpose them, right? And what you're going to do with these repurposed workshops is redo them. And I may have said this in a previous session, but repurpose all your live workshops. So when you do them, have them transcribed and creatively place them in places like Udemy. So basically what you're going to do is you will speak in modules, and when you're going to break those modules up, create courses and put them in Udemy. Again, you already did the content free. It doesn't matter whether it's free or paid. I'm not going to get into that. But again, you want to repurpose that content from your free workshop and put it on Udemy. Right? All you're doing on Udemy is pointing to your weekly workshop. You want to put that content on Udemy. Put that content on Skillshare. Right? So, you know, some people are going to be in both places. They're going to look and say, oh, well, I paid for this in Udemy. Why didn't you? Don't worry about that stuff. Put it on Skillshare. Right? Take each, you know, section or each module that you do. You know, when you do them, you're doing a weekly workshop, make sure, you know, you do it so it's easy to break up, easy to take the recordings apart, and then put them on Skillshare, right? One module at a time. You should have, you know, every week you should have a new course you could put on these places. Put the course on Amazon Video Direct. That's another place you can put it. And again, it doesn't mean that you're going to get a whole lot of people, but it doesn't cost you anything to put these courses on there. And yes, you can call them courses when you deliver a live training. And you've done 30 minutes, 30 or 35 minutes, Maybe you've got 10 different subjects that you cover in there. Each subject is going to be a way for you to be able to take and break into a separate video you're going to place in these places, and it's going to be in your voice. So you don't have to worry about any of these places saying, oh, it's not original content. You're going to be doing it in your own voice. Now, now this is a little more work involved in doing this, but it's worth it. If you have trouble getting stuff into Kindle, when you deliver a weekly workshop, maybe you're going to take three or four of them and put together, but take your weekly workshops, repurpose them by having them transcribed. You're going to have to do some rewriting, but as you deliver them, you know, deliver them with the idea of knowing you're going to be putting this on Kindle. So as you're delivering them, think about ways that, you know, you want to make sure the talk is going to be organized so that, again, you're going to take it, redo it, and put it on Kindle. You can also take some of your content and put it into one of these low-content journals, right? Maybe that's going to be the way you're going to do one workshop. Maybe you don't want to put all your workshop into Kindle. Maybe you take one workshop and turn it into a low-content journal. Right, for your, you know, for whoever your audience is going to be. And so in each one of these places, right, your Udemy link, your Skillshare URL, in your Amazon Video Direct course, where are you going to point people? You're going to point people to your weekly workshop. So again, this should be content you've already done. You shouldn't have to create anything else. You're going to take the workshop that you do, and you're going to repurpose it into these places. Why? So that you can send people to your weekly workshop. And your weekly workshop is where you're going to convert them to your list. Right? Now, again, I mean, you're obviously going to ask them to join your list. But let's say they don't want to join your list. They don't want to give you your email right away. You still want to bring them to that workshop because that's a middle step. Because they want to get to know you first. Maybe they don't want to give up their email until they see what you're about. And once you get them to that point where they've already heard you, it's going to be easier then for you to then say, join my email list, you know, when you do it, however you do it from your weekly workshop. Now, when you're breaking up that content, you're putting it on Udemy, Skillshare, Amazon Video Direct, Kindle, Journal, all those places, you can also use a bribe, right? So, you know, again, take your workshop content, repurpose it into a bribe, right? You know, sometimes maybe you want to combine it with an interview. Whatever you want to do, again, don't do additional work. Take the content you've already got and use it in order to bring people to your workshop. That's the way you want to do it. You know, until you have something that's the best received, then just use the one where you had the most energy. Right, that's probably going to be your best one anyway. So wherever you were, you were super excited, and you were on fire. You know, you knew your stuff. You know, all your anecdotes were on point. That's the one you want to use, right? Whatever is your best effort as you see it. I want to talk a little bit about becoming a guest trainer here, and this is really easier than you think, right? There are a lot of areas where you can, you know, just start to specialize. And you can be a guest trainer on other people's calls. Now, before somebody really commits to having you, you may want to commit to doing a series. So it's kind of like, you know, if you're really going to give people the opportunity to bring you on, you don't want to just kind of get on and do one thing. You know, that kind of looks a little shady. But if you're ready to do an entire series to train their people, right? That really does kind of signal that you've got some commitment not only to the topic area and to their people. You know, the vendor is getting something, right? The vendor is getting a way to engage their audience. Every vendor is looking for that. So people that are selling products online and they've got somebody in their subject matter that can engage their audience, they love that. So think about that, you know, when you start to figure out what your niche is going to be or who you're going to be contacting, well, you know, look for people who have these lists but never do webinars. They never do training because they don't have time. Typically, it's because they're, first of all, doing the thing. And then the second thing they're doing is they're taking their knowledge and putting in an information product. That's all the bandwidth they have. They love to be able to train people, and you can actually help them to do that. What you're getting out of this, of course, is the opportunity to invite people to your regular workshop. So be a guest trainer. Look for opportunities, you know, to be a weekly guest on a trainer. You can also partner with somebody, you know. So let's say that, you know, somebody's a product vendor and they don't have a trainer. Again, now you don't want to do all of that for free, right? I mean, you know, if you start talking about partnering with people, I mean, you know, if you're part of their network, and they're, you know, they're getting revenue. I'm not saying you should do that part for free if you're partnering with somebody. But again, you don't have to take the lion's share because, again, maybe you didn't put the product together. What you're doing is engagement, right? Now, I will tell you this parenthetically. If you are working with business opportunity seekers, network marketers are an excellent place to find these opportunities. Routinely, you know, people who are in network marketing or business opportunities, they don't have a lot of bandwidth to train people, especially on internet marketing. And so it's a great opportunity for you to be that person. And people will listen to you and hear you if you have expertise. And typically, if you're training people on something even as small as how to put together your autoresponder, that's going to be big knowledge for some network marketing organizations. If you're willing to do that on a regular basis, I'm telling you, there will be people who will be willing to put you on. So if you have a network, you have network marketers in your network and they don't do training, again, think about approaching them with the opportunity that, hey, you know what, I could do your training for you. Now, when you start doing these things, your opt-in needs to be in place. So I want to say this again, please don't start getting yourself asked to be a guest trainer, right? Don't wait to do that. So don't say, oh, you know, Charles said I have to do, you know, so let me make sure I say this again because I need to edit that out. So I need to edit out my name. So don't wait to start getting yourself asked to be a guest trainer, right? So don't wait on that. But as soon as possible, make sure that you have a simple opt-in page put together. Okay, please do that. So you should have that anyway. If I were to ask you by show of hands tonight, right? You knew that I was going to ask you this, and I'm the only one who can see your answers. If you have an opt-in page right now, right, put together, please put the number 2 in the question box. You already have one. It's ready to go. It's got your thing in it, right? Whatever your thing is. Okay? You've got your opt-in put together. Okay? Right? Okay, good. Great. Okay, good, good, good. A lot of people do. So please make sure that you have something by the end of tonight, right? Get an opt-in page put together. Also, you know, if you're going to work with another vendor, make sure that vendor can monetize the traffic they're sending you. So, you know, it's an added plus to them, and it's an added benefit to them, and it gives them an incentive to keep putting you in front of their audience. So, again, set up your affiliate program. Make it so that it's easy for the vendor to get paid as an affiliate for the product you sell. Very easy to do. If you don't want to set up your own affiliate program in something like ThriveCart, then do it in something like ClickBank, do it in something like Warrior Plus, do it in something like JVZoo, use something like Teachable. Whatever it is, make it so that the vendor can monetize you easily. Do a simple email sequence. Soon as that person gets your autoresponder, they need to get a welcome email. That welcome email needs to tell them how to get to your workshop. So even if you don't do a big fancy deal in your indoctrination series, which you eventually need to do, we talked about that already. But even if you don't get, if you're not at that point yet, write a really, really simple email. Thank people for opting in, and then tell them where they're going to be able to get more training. So again, you want to make it as seamless as possible for that person to get added to your weekly webinar series, right? Get them on your list. Get them to the webinar, right? Get them to your workshop. Now, you may want to add them at the point of opt-in. So in other words, when that person signs up for your weekly workshop, you want to make sure, let me take a step back. When they get opted in to your list, you can do it so that you can use a system like Zapier, so that person is automatically added to whatever your webinar system is going to be. That may be a little tricky. I'm happy to show you how to do that, but that's something that you want to do. Now, in some cases, your opt-in or your email system is going to have some kind of integration with a webinar service, right? And that should give you some clues, actually, on what kind of webinar system to get. So, you know, if your autoresponder has an integration, right, an existing, it already works with, you know, a specific webinar system, then you may want to get that webinar system, right, in order to do your workshops. Now, tell the people in your welcome email what they've signed up for, because they're going to get an email that they're already signed up for, and it's going to get this weird-looking email from your webinar system. Send them an email telling them what they're getting, right, so that they know that. And then, you know, when the email from the webinar system is titled, do it in a way that's going to be prospect-friendly. Now, your goal is still going to be the same. Your goal should be to get that person attending on a regular basis, because that's where you're going to sell from. That's where you're going to pitch from. Now, again, it's not going to be a hard pitch, but you are going to get your offers in front of people, and you will engage them in a way so that, again, you're trying to get people to that point where they feel like by opening up your email, they are going to get something good because of what you're sharing with them. Now, don't negate offline sources. And this is really important. Make sure that people in the offline world, make sure they understand what it is you do. Even if they don't have anything to do, make sure they understand what you do. Right? Make sure people know what you do offline. You know, when you go someplace, you know, you have to go places. You have to go to a restaurant. You got to go to, you know, groceries. Well, maybe you don't. I mean, maybe you can have all that stuff delivered these days. But wherever you go, you got to go places. When you go places, maybe you want to take a business card. Please don't negate that. Right? I'm not saying you got to be, you know, have a stack. You got to pay $1 million for business cards. Business cards still work and people still take them. And put on the back of your business card, come to my weekly workshop, make an easy to understand URL where people can do it. Right? Come to my weekly workshop every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at me.com/workshop. Right? Really simple. Put that on the back of your business card. Turn your Kindle book into a paperback book so that when you go places, hey, you know what? I've got a book on that. Right? Make sure inside of that book, prominently, on the first page and the last page, in every place where you could talk about it. Right? Now, how many of y'all have ever read a book by Dan Kennedy? Right? How many of y'all have ever read a book by Dan Kennedy? If you read a book by Dan Kennedy, put the number 3 in the question box. Right? If you've ever read anything by Dan Kennedy. Right? Yeah, and so you know what I'm talking about. Now, you know, you might find it, and I know a lot of people find his books obnoxious. And it's funny when you read, I'd say, the reviews of his books, they'll say, this is just one big sales pitch to try to get you to come to something. Well, that's what it should be. So when you write your book, again, take your weekly workshop content, turn it into a book, right? When you deliver it, and then in that book, tell people to come to your workshop. So, you know, so please don't feel like, you know, they should really love me for my book. No, don't worry about that stuff. You know, put the book together and then put in the book exactly what you want people to do. Every Tuesday night, I do a workshop at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Come to it at this address. Right? Send people there. Now, you'd really be surprised. I've asked my friend, a friend of mine to come on and kind of talk to us about this, but people are still buying CDs. You wouldn't believe it, but they are. And if you go and you search for CD player in Google, you know what you're going to find out? There are a lot of searches for people looking for a CD player. People are still playing CDs. And whether you think it's going to be something that's going to be a big seller, I'm not saying you got to go and manufacture a gazillion CDs, you're going to make $1 million. Not what I'm saying. But I'm saying turn your content into audio so that people can buy it offline. right? Sell them on Amazon, sell them on eBay, and then sell them and give them away offline. Now, when you want to have somebody to, you know, you want to get people to your workshop, you want to tell them what you're about, some people would really appreciate putting in a CD, and they are going to get right in their car. They're going to get right home to their computer. They're going to get right there and put it in and listen to you right away. Roger is asking, do I recommend Kunaki for this? Yes, I do. I definitely recommend Kunaki for that. Look for opportunities with Groupon. This is not going to be easy to do, but it's possible. Be creative in the way you do it, right? Find a way to get yourself an offer on Groupon. Again, it's not going to be, they're not going to want to take you. They're not going to want to put an online entrepreneur on there. So you might have to find a way to be creative. But again, Groupon has a lot of traffic, a lot of traffic, right? And people are looking for things. And you may not, again, it really depends on the niche. It really depends on the information. And again, please just don't go in both barrels. You say, well, I've got a Facebook course and I want to sell it here on Groupon. That's probably not going to work. Find a way to be creative. And again, it's not going to be easy, but if you can figure out how to do it, it's going to be worth it. They've got a lot of traffic. Again, you are driving people to a free weekly workshop when you're doing these things. And these people, when they come to whatever page that you have put together, they should immediately see your archive. When, you know, they should see your most recent archive. They should be able to click on something and start watching. So they can say, you know what, I want to come to more of these. I want to come to the live one because I've seen these other ones. Sometimes all they'll need to see are the titles of the things that you covered the last 4 weeks. Maybe they may not watch any of them. All they need to see is this woman, she covered YouTube this week. She covered Snapchat this week. She covered whatever, right? They see these things. They say, this is my kind of person. That's my kind of lady. That's my kind of guy. I'm going to come to this session. If you have an opportunity for traditional media, take it. So don't poo-poo additional media. Now, I'm not saying go out and spend money to get a newspaper ad. But if you get the opportunity to be in the newspaper, you better take it. Whatever opportunity for traditional media, it still works. Terrestrial radio shows, you know. People still have terrestrial radio shows. There's a real demographic for this niche. And typically, they're really going to match the information marketing niche. I'm going to tell you that right away. So if you can find your way onto a terrestrial radio show, and I'm not saying go start one, right? That's not what I'm saying. But if you can get on one as a guest, it's a great way, right? So don't not do it if you get the opportunity. If you can be in a magazine as a feature story or as somebody who can share something, be in that magazine or pitch yourself to a trade publication, right? There are plenty of these trade publications. They are starving for content, right? Again, you may have to be creative in the way you do it, but definitely do it. Local newspapers. Local newspapers are sometimes down to, I know our local newspapers down to something like 3 times a week. Right, they're only delivering that. That's really because they don't really have a lot of content to put in there. And so you can be a source of free content and helping to put that together. Again, now this is not going to be an easy opportunity to get, but if you can get it, try to get it. What are you going to do? You're going to tell people, you know, whatever your byline is, John does a free workshop for people who want to learn how to build a business online every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Whatever opportunity you get for traditional media, take it. Finally, be charitable. Find a way to be charitable offline. It doesn't mean that you have to be present, but be charitable. Be charitable offline. Speak free, right? Do a free webinar and help other people to raise money. Share your expertise. when you do these things, find a way to do giveaways, right? So take that content you put into a book. Be willing to give away 5 copies. You know, you can typically get those copies off Amazon CreateSpace for something like $3 or $4 a copy. You know, bring them home and give them away, right? As part of the thing. Raffle off one of your physical products. You know, for again, all for the sake of charity. your job is to give value where you can when you get invited to speak, you know, and to help people to raise money as part of charity. And every time, what are you going to do, right? What are you doing when you do this? At the end, you're going to invite people to come to their sessions where they can learn more. Now, you don't have to, structure the way you would structure a workshop. So when you're doing a charitable event, then just do it straight. At the end, you know, then tell people, hey, you know, I've got a session where I do this. That may not be the case where you're going to seed in throughout your workshop that you have these other products. So maybe when you're doing a charitable event, that's not the place to do that. Just give them a straight information and invite people afterward, right, to your workshop. And I'm going to say, don't worry about it to be paid. If you feel like you're giving away too much, you can negotiate that if you want to do that. But it's still a good way to be come involved in a cause that you like, right? So everybody's got a cause they like, and all these causes are in some ways they're strapped because they don't have any money because of COVID. And so, you know, depending on when you're hearing this, get involved, right? Find a way to help that charity and figure out a way that you can help them to earn more money by giving away your time and your expertise. And you do get something out of this. Now, again, you get the satisfaction of being able to help, an organization that you love for a cause you love, right? Some of you all love animals, right? That doesn't mean that you have to speak on the subject of animals. Some of you all love, you're into the climate. Doesn't mean you have to speak on the climate, right? Some of you all are real advocates for small local business. Doesn't mean you have to speak on small business. All it means is that you're speaking, you're giving away your expertise so they can raise money. That's why you're doing it. And so again, it's a way for you to be involved with a cause. And again, find ways to sponsor organizations. Right. You know, you're going to give away X amount of your profits for specific products. Right. So that, you can, and we're going to actually do an entire session on this at some point about ways that you can be charitable and you can be involved in your community, even as an online entrepreneur. So, again, we want to start exploring these opportunities where we don't have to be physically there. Because, that kind of messes with your rhythm when you're an online entrepreneur. But you still want to find ways to give to your local area, right? And this is a way for you to be able to allow people to put you on and to promote you by being a good citizen. Okay, any questions?